Just for the rather shorter while that we have together, I would like you to turn with me to the 8th chapter of Romans. This wonderful chapter that we've dealt with before and we've obtained much blessing from. It has come back to my heart in these last few moments, and I want to talk to you rather more briefly than usual a little about the first fruits of the Spirit in Romans chapter 8. You will remember that the word comes in the section that deals with Paul speaking about verse 18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now the glory has yet to be revealed, you see, but the first fruits we have. All right, we'll go on. For the earnest expectation of the creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Praise God, you know what the vanity was. It was Eve's and Adam's vanity. That's right, they thought they would be as gods by listening to the devil. And it was a vain enough hope, even as it was a vain promise. And so God then subjected the whole of creation to that vanity. And that's, he did it in hope, praise God, that they might have a greater hope than the little puny thing that Adam, who was the master of creation then, you will remember, a puny hope that he had fostered in his vain mind by the devil. But what a tremendous thing. It says that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God, or the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. And so on. That's the great truth, beloved, that I want to talk to you about a little in this chapter. We're waiting, so we're told, for the redemption of the body. And that's all we're groaning about. It doesn't say we're groaning about sin in us. You notice that. But lots of people would think that it's truly Christian to be groaning about all the sin that's going on inside, and finding tremendous contradictions with God in our own selves. But Paul got that all dealt with by the Lord's grace, and he knows that the true sons of God have come into their inheritance and really are where what God wants them to be. They're just groaning inside, waiting for this marvellous time to come, enjoying whilst we're on the earth, really enjoying the first fruits of the Spirit. And these fruits of the Spirit, these first fruits, beloved, they are in all parts of our being. They are not just in one portion of us, in that we're spirit, soul, and body. They're not just in one portion of it. We can have the first fruits of the Spirit in our bodies, even whilst we're groaning and waiting for the redemption of our bodies. the manifestation of the glory of God. We can have the first fruits in our body, we can have the first fruits in our soul, we can have the first fruits in our spirit. And how gloriously true this is. And of course, the important thing is the spirit. And so as he opens the chapter, Paul deals with the spirit first. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now this is the big and important thing of the first fruit of the Spirit in our life, beloved. Absolute freedom. Now notice this, there's no getting round it, there's no toning it down. It said, the scripture says that we've been made free in the spirit from the law of sin and death, because the law of sin and death is a spiritual law. And the great answer to that spiritual law on the wicked side, on the devil's side, is the new law that came into the world, the law that Jesus Christ lived by. The great law of liberty from sin and death. In order to die, the Lord had to have sin placed on him. Unless he couldn't have died, you see. He had to be the sin bearer. He had to have sin placed on him in order for him to die. And of course he never partook of it spiritually, but never mind, he bore it and so fulfilled all the truth of scripture. What a glorious thing this is, beloved, when the Lord really reveals unto us this truth of being made free from the law of sin and death. Now mark you, we love this verse which says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus and so on and so on, but there is condemnation to us if we're not there. The Bible says there's no condemnation anymore. That's not what it says. It says to them who are in Christ Jesus. Yeah, we've got to be very true to what the Bible says. In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. This is where the law works. It doesn't work outside of him. It never worked in anybody else when he was on the earth. No one. It can work in us now he's gone. That's the tremendous part about it. This wonderful law of being free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Now, as sure as you've got sin in you, its outworking is death. Somewhere must work. Sin must go through to death. James is very explicit about this. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death, he says. The scriptures are very clear on this. But beloved, we have been made free from this great law. It's in the spirit. Once the heart grasps this, why? This is tremendous. Now, you must see that these three things that I'm talking about, spirit, soul and body, when it really happens to you, it happens instantaneously. Simultaneously, I mean. It happens simultaneously. But we're, by Paul's method in the spirit, looking at it rather analytically, taking one at a time. And so first he says, we are made free from the law of sin and death. And it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that's made us free from it. Now you'll notice that this isn't, to use the term that we love to use, it isn't imputed. You don't impute laws to you. This isn't imputed. This is something that it's a functional thing. Laws are, well, they're just laws. We're all subject to law. As we're sitting here now, a tremendous amount of laws are acting in each one of us. Why? We could start to recount the physical laws that are acting. We could start to talk, in our own bodies. We could start to talk about the universal laws that are taking place now whilst we're all here. As a matter of fact, if law wasn't operating, none of us would be free. That's the tremendous part about it. We're completely free. If all the laws of our bodily functioning are happening right, we're free from sickness. Going on, right? That's the tremendous part about it. But the law of the spirit of life in Christ, that wonderful spiritual life in Him. Inextricable, unreachable to those that gathered round Him on earth. Now, by the coming of the Spirit, and this is the note we were on at the beginning of the meeting, Jesus is glorified, and He sent the Comforter to us, that all this may take place in us. And beloved, when God starts, He starts by making the Spirit free from this great law of sin and death. He makes us free there, fundamentally free. You know, I think God's wonderful. That's no compliment to God. He doesn't receive honor from men. But never mind. I do. I think He's so sensible, if I may put it. He's got so much common sense. I'm meaning in the spiritual realm, of course. You see, with men, nearly always, we start at the circumference and we try to work in, but God goes right back to the center. He goes to the spirit of it all. And beloved, if we're wrong, it's because we're wrong in spirit. That's right. That's where it's all wrong. Wrong in spirit. The Lord puts us right spiritually. Oh, bless His wonderful name. But I want to say this, that though God is spirit in substance, He's more than spirit. And of course, so are we. He's more than spirit. As we're talking of, say, pure essential spirit and substance. Let's go on. And we find this. In verse 5, we're told this, that they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the spirit do the things of the spirit. For the minding of the flesh, as verse 6 better is, in revision, is death. And the minding of the spirit is life and peace. For the fleshly mind is enmity against God. And so on. And so we come from spirit to mind. Spirit to mind. Praise the Lord. Now, God was never soul until Jesus Christ became a living soul on the earth. He was a life-giving spirit, I know, but He was a human soul, just like everybody. He said, "My soul is exceeding trouble," and so on. He said this. God was always spirit till then. Then God became a man. That was a wonderful thing. But before He was soul, He was always mind, so don't get tied up with the psychologists who only want to make soul and mind one. They haven't got a clue. They think they have, but they haven't. God was spirit and mind, hallelujah. That great intelligence, if I may put it that way, that moral intelligence, glory, that wonderful being. Won't it be wonderful when we really see Him? I mean, we only see through a glass darkness. You'll have to excuse all the mistakes I make, because we're all on common ground here. We only see through a glass darkly. Even old Paul did, and I'm quite proud, if I may use that word, to be classed with him in this. And but you see, we're now spirit and mind. And the trouble with us is that, beloved, until God does this miracle of setting us free spiritually from the law of sin and death, we have a fleshy mind. We're minding the flesh all the time. Can't help it. And you know, God doesn't blame us for it either. It would be terrible if God blamed us and got a big stick up and started to do this, that, and that about it all, if there was no remedy. You see. Because, you see, given the law, but as we read the preceding verses, which you will know very well, it says, what the law couldn't do, it was weak through the flesh. See? God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Amen. Praise God. Because there came a new mind into the world. Hallelujah. There came a spiritual mind. A man who minded the things of the Spirit. Oh, beloved, if we could only see how really, truly God has given us Christ. He's really given us Christ. That's why he came into the world, to give us. It wasn't just the present that people will be preaching at Christmas time. And they're quite right. God so loved that he gave a present. Now you must receive it like you receive your Christmas box. Do you see? It isn't that he's given that mind. He's really given us this. This is the thing to see. Amen. He didn't just give that baby then. He's since that blessed one grew up and became a man and carried that glorious mind to the cross and through the grave and up to Father, for Father to dispense it in the Spirit. Oh, what a wonderful thing this is, to give us this mind of Christ. You see, we have minds that are after the flesh. They're after the flesh. They sink down to and according to the flesh. And when we talk, when you and I read, for instance, about circumcision in the New Testament, it's this mind of the flesh that's cut out. Do you see that? This is where circumcision is. It cuts out this mind of the flesh. And until that's taken place, we've never come into this glorious sign of the covenant. It cuts out the fleshy mind. Praise God. That's what it does by the power of the cross. Circumcised through the power of his cross. You may read this in the Colossian letter, chapter 2. And so, beloved, we can now begin to think along the lines of the miracle that's happened within the Spirit. Hallelujah. This great law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the terrible law of sin and death in the Spirit, that I must do this thing, for law insists that I must. That's right, isn't it? You break it and see. But here's the tremendous thing. Now I have the mind of the Spirit. Glory be to God. So that, beloved, this is the outworking of this tremendous thing, that he writes his laws in our minds. Now, and in our hearts. And it's all so wonderful. Now we can think clear. Think along the things of the Spirit of God. And beloved, how in the world does any one of us expect to be able to achieve sonship in all its fullest realms in this great kingdom of God unless our minds are dealt with? It's always in the realm of the mind where people are being troubled, always in the realm of the mind. Where the attacks come, that's right, isn't it? That is absolutely right. And so you see, beloved, that Jesus, God, sending his likeness, his Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, let's read it very carefully, and for sin, mark you, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now I want to tell you that this righteousness is the righteousness of more than the Mosaic law, although it was given out as Mosaic law. It's the righteousness of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's that righteousness too, for the life in Christ Jesus fulfilled the righteousness of the law, and now it's taken out of the Mosaic setting and it's in the Spirit setting, and it comes to us in the Spirit. Alright, and the righteousness of this glorious law, this wonderful life of the Lord Jesus, as Wesley has it, thy nature be my law. That's right. Thy nature be my law. And this is the tremendousness of it, beloved, that we are here in this glorious position. And now, this having taken place, you see, if we're after the flesh in verse 5, we mind the things of the flesh. That's why we do it, because we're all born after the flesh. Not just meaning this sort of thing that we can pinch and that hurts, this meat on these bones, but we're born after that terrible flesh and fleshy instincts and ways. The whole pattern of our life is laid out for us in our mothers and in our fathers and passed on to us. And we mind the things of the flesh. We can't help it. And God doesn't blame us for it in that sense. What he does say is that there's a way out of this, and I blame you for not taking it. That's the thing. That's what he blamed you for. For not taking it. That way out. You see. And glory be to God. He is given to us that glorious Lord Jesus Christ. But when we're after the Spirit, why, hallelujah, we're coming into a new realm. We mind the things of the Spirit. We think the ways of the Spirit of God. Now that's what we've got to do. Now, what you and I have got to ask ourselves is this true in our case? And then you might say, well, it's all right to have the Spirit dealt with and the mind dealt with, but how about this body? Things happen in this body of mine, sort of be inwrought in this body of mine. What happens about that? Well, here we have it, and it says that verse 9, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. That's right. This is how God does it. The body is dead because of sin. Got his Spirit, got his mind. Have I got his body? How does God deal with this body? No, we're waiting to have a body like his. That's what we're groaning for. We read it in verse 23. We're waiting to have a body like his. But in the meantime, if I've got a spirit that's rectified and a mind that's right, where's the leakage? Do we understand this? Well, here we are then. If Christ's in you, the body's dead because of sin. Has to be. Not sinful because it's dead, but dead because it was sinful. So God has to bring the sinful actions of the body to death. That are in us. Has to bring it all to death. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And this is how the Lord brings our bodies to a death and a resurrection. Into this new life. You can't live this life that God wants you to live until your bodily functions have been brought to a death and a resurrection. This is the tremendous thing. Brought to death. The old pattern of life, how we behaved in our physical bodies, has to be brought short to an end like that. And then quickened again with his wonderful power. Now this is what takes place when a person is really born of God. This is what the new birth is. This is the great miracle, the great wonder that God does. It's a thing that takes up the whole man. It's everything, beloved. Glory. I can't... What's the use of the Lord setting me free in my spirit if my body is going on functioning like it did before? Along the same old lines. And if the lusts of my flesh working in my members are going to function as it did before, and if my mind is going to keep on going after the old fleshy ways, what's the use of this salvation? These are the first fruits of the Spirit. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And so, beloved, whilst we're on this earth, spirit, soul and body, we've had a glorious visitation and a wonderful and a thorough work of grace wrought within us. Hallelujah. Why, I remember not so long ago having a letter from a young man. I didn't answer it. I was in the midst of... It wasn't the letter that he was asking for an answer, but I could have answered it in sheer joy and glory with him. But I tore it up and dispatched it to the waste paper basket, as I do all my letters. Some not immediately, but I don't keep any of them long. I've learned not to do that, because they can be awful snares. They could revive old hates that should be dead, or they could puff you up if they're too complimentary, and I don't know what not. It's best to burn them, beloved, and don't give the devil any chance along these lines. But I can remember this young man, he wrote, he said, "What's happened to me?" "What's happened to me?" he said. Very, 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 very clever young man. Oh, he said, "Actually, things changed." And he went through lists that I won't talk to you about in this letter, of things that absolutely changed with him. Spirit, soul and body. Utterly different. Oh, he had a thorough doing over by the Spirit of God. He got the real thing. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And it was wonderful, beloved. And you see, beloved, this is what the Lord has provided for us, a full salvation. The law couldn't do it. Example couldn't do it. Good words couldn't do it. Exhortations, preachings, teachings, even from Jesus, could not do it. But glory, since that death and resurrection and the coming of the Spirit, beloved, this is where we rejoice. It does it. It's here. We're in it. Is this right? praise God. You know, beloved, it's a miracle when the dispositions of you are changed, and that's in the spirit. It's a miracle when the thoughts of you and the imaginings of you are changed, and they're going in a different direction. Not by effort of your own either. I'm not meaning that. I'm meaning from inside, not from outside. And it's a wonderful thing when these laws that work in the members are brought to death too. Amen. So that we can now function as proper human beings as God intended when he first made us. Hallelujah. And that's a very, very wonderful and glorious thing, beloved. And we can walk and have these glorious, glorious, wonderful things. Our mortal bodies quickened by the Spirit that dwells in us, quickened now, brought to death from going along that way, quickened so that they can now go this way with the Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord teach us this.
Say a bit more on verse 11, please.
All right, brother. I try to. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I know that this verse is often used as a verse for healing, and I think this is quite correct too. I believe that the first thing I've been talking to you about is its first meaning in the mind of the Spirit. But I also believe, beloved, that these bodies of ours, being the temples of the Spirit, can expect to be quickened for more things than just lusts and that work in the members. I believe that they can expect to be quickened into temples for fit for God to dwell in a very, very wonderful way, to meet what we'll call just the outward physical things, the things that attack us of disease and sickness and so on. And when this is a real glorious thing, it's as a result, beloved, of the blessed Spirit of resurrection, the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. You understand, don't you, that the one that raised Jesus from the dead was, well, Romans 6 said it was the Father. He was raised from the dead by Father. That's right. This is the thing that we've often talked about in this room, and I remember our brother Ward saying one night from Ephesians, all the fullness of God the Father, the fullness of Christ, and the fullness of the Spirit, in three aspects from the Ephesian letter. That's absolutely right, beloved. Because though they are one, yet in this glorious sense, always Spirit, they are three different persons. And what a tremendous thing this is, beloved. And here's a tremendous way in which we can prove this glorious life of the Lord to quicken us. And this quickening, beloved, is something that's always going on. We should all be living by this resurrection life. So, and then how about natural life? Well, did the Lord Jesus live a natural life? Yes. Well, didn't he say, I'm the resurrection? He said that, you see. Amen. I'm the resurrection, he said, and the life. And you and I have got to be, in this sense, resurrection and life, in that we've been brought to death, resurrected, if you like, and living. We're resurrection and life. Now, I know that our bodies have got to decompose or be burned to ashes if the Lord doesn't come very shortly, some of us anyway. And that sense, it's true. But in this great thing in which God has contributed to us, which that God has given to us, beloved, we can move in a realm, and there's no limit, beloved, I believe, to which faith can go in all these things, as we're taught and led of the Spirit of God into all this great fullness. Jesus was raised from the dead, and the blessed Spirit dwells in us, and I believe, beloved, that the quickening goes on all the time. For instance, I believe that we are due for a visit of the Hong Kong flu. I believe we are, beloved. They promised it to us or threatened us with it or what it is, I don't know. I don't quite see. I don't think I know all about it, but there it is. And I believe that there is an approach to all these things in the Spirit, beloved. I believe that there is an approach to these things in the Spirit. I don't say this here boastfully. It would be very strange if I was the one out of the whole fellowship that caught it, wouldn't it, after saying this? But there is an approach in the Spirit. I remember when the Asian flu visited Bradford years ago. No, it wasn't Asian flu, was it?
No, it was the
bad one. No, it was the smallpox one. Wasn't it the terrific smallpox? Because our own nephew drank out the same cup, that's right. One of the Pakistanis that brought it to Bradford. And he was there's nothing good to stop. Was it smallpox?
Yes.
No, it
wasn't. You drank out the same cup.
It was the smallpox. Yes, that's right. And I remember that there was nothing in this world could stop him catching it. Nothing at all. They were just expecting him to go down. But I remember that we stood in the fellowship against, because it would have gone through the fellowship, because he drank out of the cup with his Pakistani, and then he came and we were all drinking tea down the fellowship, cups to cups, and all, nobody knew which was what, and there it was. We were all due to go down, die from the devil. But we stood, and nobody caught it. Nobody caught it. We saw this thing and we stood. We did it too with one of those terrible flu bouts too, I remember. How many years ago it was now, I've forgotten. And I believe that in all these things, beloved, there is a place where we can stand. We don't make any boast about this. Don't let's be foolish. But there is a place, beloved, where we draw from God. And, beloved, we can find quickenings and healings and renewings and all sorts of things as we go on with the Lord in this great way. But look, this all works primarily from the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. That's where it all works from. Hallelujah. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus when he was on the earth guaranteed resurrection for him. That's right. As he said he was the resurrection and the life, and yet he had to be raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. You will remember. It says, and yet it guaranteed that with everything put on him, and all the vicious generators of sickness in humanity came on him and attacked him. That's right. All the wickedness and But there it was, when that precious man, Christ Jesus, was laid in the grave, beloved, he was the vilest of the vile. He was would have been the most corrupt of the corrupt, the Lord Jesus. He would have been the very seed of all sickness, vileness, disease, and sin of everything. Laid in that grave, he would have been. Do you think of what was put on him? It was put on him. And he would have been the worst thing that ever happened for mankind if he hadn't have been God manifest in the flesh. But glory, he so lived that he's the best thing Wonderful one. Glory. Yeah, amen, brother. Amen. Glory. And it's all so tremendous. He brought all these things to death in himself. That's what he did, you see? All the workings of corruption and sickness and vileness and sin and wickedness and laws that were anti our good. He brought them all to death in himself. Oh, how great is our God and how wonderful. And then he arose triumphant, beloved. And it's all for us. These are the first fruits of the Spirit. First fruits, beloved. And we should be enjoying these. And I would remind you that first fruits are the fruits that God claims. And there's a sense that he comes in us. When he comes in us, he claims them for us. And he claims them in us. And we're here to receive them. Hallelujah. Well, I think I've said enough. I'm going to stop anyway. The Lord may lead us into all this in all fullness. And I want to remind you, beloved, that I've just touched on it tonight. I've given you an idea of spirit and mind and body. And what is there for you as you go on in the way of the Spirit of God. And see that each one of us has it. That's what we're here for, to see that we have it. And especially in the mental realm, beloved, I beseech you to see this, that the circumcision of the flesh is the circumcision of the fleshly mind, so far as we're concerned. That's cut out, so that we may be able to think clear in the Spirit. Praise God. And when we think after the Spirit, then the law of the Spirit in the Spirit of us works up into the mind. This is, I told you before, it was simultaneous. It's analysed here on the page of Scripture, but this is that which God does. And let nobody think that they've got to drag on for the next 20 years trying to get the body in line with what the Spirit is and all this sort of thing. It's this glorious stroke of genius, this wonderful miracle that God has given us in Christ, beloved, and you believe it, and you walk in it, and you exhort me to it too when you see I need it, for we all need to be exhorting one another, as the Scripture says, as we see the day approaching. All right, amen. I'll leave it there.